The epistle for this Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are His judgments and how unsearchable His ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who is first given to Him and recompense shall be made Him? For of Him, and by Him, and in Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Please rise for the Gospel. The Gospel is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to His disciples, "All power is given to Me in heaven and on earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Thus ends the Gospel. Please be seated. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, this Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, which we're told is the fundamental mystery of our religion. And all the other mysteries flow from it. What is a mystery? It means it's something that we cannot pierce through. We can't comprehend fully with our intellect. That's a mystery. That's why we call it a mystery. We have to approach it, grasp it by faith. We can have it by faith, but we can't fully understand it with our intellect. But what we also have to understand is that God gave us our intellect, and God made the order of the universe, and He did make our intellects in such a way that they can perceive the order that He intends. So these mysteries of our faith, although we might not be able to prove them like a mathematical equation, we can reach to a certain level of intellectual knowledge, of intellectual understanding of them. We can't prove them, but we can increase our understanding. What we're told, actually, is that when we speak to people who don't have the faith of these mysteries, and they say, "Well, that's ridiculous. You can't prove it." What we can do is say, "No, I can't prove it, but you can't prove that it's ridiculous. You can't prove that it couldn't be." That's what these mysteries essentially come down to. We can come to the point where we can say, "Well, I might not quite see how this thing exists, but I can see it's possible. I can see it's not ridiculous." And then by faith, we have that mystery. So how do we grasp the mystery of the Holy Trinity? Well, I wasn't going to talk about it today, but then I remembered that a young priest, the first 5 or 10 times he preaches on the Trinity, he gets 5 free passes on any heresies that he says. Just, you get a walk on whatever heresies come out of your mouth. So, it's not too often you get a free pass, and I thought, well, I'll take it. How do we pierce to the mystery of the Trinity? Well, to do it intellectually, we need certain tools, philosophical tools. And we won't use those. We're going to speak a little bit lower on the level of our imagination, which is not our intellect. We're going to use our imagination to try to move a little bit closer to what this mystery of the Trinity is. So it's a little bit silly. Our imaginations tend to be silly sometimes, but it can be helpful. And if we imagine that we wake up one morning and look at our reflections in the bathroom mirror, just like every other day, but this morning's different because we decide that, For some reason, we got some kind of superpower the night before. We are going to animate our reflection. What we see in the mirror, we're going to give it life somehow. But even more deeply, we're going to give it our life. We're going to give it everything that we have. Our past, our talents, our knowledge, the things we like, the things we don't like. Somehow, we're going to communicate to this reflection in the mirror the reality of what we are. We're going to communicate to it ourselves. Well, it's hard to imagine this. Even just imagination is difficult here. But we can think about that. I mean, we see at least a reflection as something that we can see. When we move, it moves. But even more deeply, it's not just mirroring us. It's moving itself because it has our life. And this is something that gets us into the, not even the ballpark, but maybe in the same state as something that happens with the Trinity. But we go further and imagine that instead of giving life to this reflection that's in our mirror right in front of us, we are everywhere. Somehow there's 2 of us, 4 of us, 8 of us, 16 of us, 32 of us. We just, everywhere in the universe, we can put ourselves everywhere. Ourselves giving our reflection our life. But there's no place in the universe that's not filled with either ourselves or our reflection that is ourselves. But we said that there's no place in the universe that's not filled with ourselves. So I'm me. My reflection is over here, but it's me. I'm not my reflection. There has to be some kind of separation between me and my reflection. But that's also me, because I'm everywhere. And there we have 3 persons. Me, my reflection, and me in between my reflection. Again, we're still in the same state as the Trinity. But it's an interesting imagination. Again, it's silly. And we admit that. But we don't quite have what we need to think all the way through to the Trinity. So we'll use what God gave us. He gave us an imagination. Let's see if it gets us anywhere. But even more interestingly, not only do I give everything I have to my reflection, but my reflection, which is me, gives everything it has back to me. And that's called love. I love my reflection. Said another way, because my reflection has everything that I am, is everything I am, I love myself, which we think is a bad thing. Well, it can be in us, it's not in God. There's nothing worthy for God to love except for himself. Everything else is a creature. Everything else gets its goodness from God. God would be wrong if he didn't love himself. God would be wrong if he didn't love the perfectly good God. So why is the Trinity the central mystery of our religion? Well, it's exactly because of that. It's exactly because it's the mystery of love. The life of the Trinity is love. The life of the Trinity is love. And we can turn it around and say that the love of the Trinity is life. We speak of wanting to get close to God, wanting to get nearer to God. Well, how do we do that? By love. That's why the Trinity is a central mystery. Because the Father loves, He sees Himself, and He wants to give Himself. There's nothing more perfect that He can give. He wants to give. And He gives Himself fully to the Son. The Son has everything that the Father has. Everything. And the Son gives everything back to the Father. And the Father gives that back to the Son. In this eternal relationship that is love. And because these two persons are so perfect, because they're infinite, because they're everywhere, because their love is real, it's a real thing, we have the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, who proceeds from this love between the Father and the Son. And God is eternal and infinite. The problem with the mystery of the Trinity, and it's led to many heresies, is that we can't imagine. We imagine that, well, okay, I'm here, but I have to be here first before I love this other thing. We can't imagine love without time. There is no time in God. God lives in the eternal present. God was before time. God loved before time was. God will love after time ceases. But we have a hard time imagining that. We think first the Father, then the Son, then the Holy Ghost. It's not true. In eternity, there is no before and after. There is no before and after in the Trinity. Again, our imagination can't grasp that. We have to think that. But what we can understand is that this mystery, if we're in the state of grace, exists in our soul. That is the gift of grace. Again, the Father gives Himself completely. Well, we can't receive Him like the Son does, because we're just creatures. But we can receive Him, and He can give Himself to us, and that's what He does. The Blessed Trinity that existed before time, that will exist after time, that exists outside of time, the Blessed Trinity for whom all time, the billions of years, the millennia, the eons, whatever fancy astronomical term you want to use, the Blessed Trinity for whom all that time is less than a drop of water in all the oceans in the world. It's less than that. That Blessed Trinity exists in our souls. And if we were to stop to consider that, if we ever were to consider that seriously, we would change profoundly. It would change our lives. If we were to accept this mystery of our faith, if we were to understand that the infinite, eternal, completely spiritual, boundless God dwells in our soul, how could we be the same? We couldn't. Because to have that kind of love living within us would automatically make us want to respond. We'd have to. You know you're starting to understand these mysteries of our faith. You know you're starting to get closer to God when you want to change. When you start to judge what you do as insufficient. It's not enough to show your love. It's not enough to pay back the love that you receive from the Trinity. That's when we know we're starting to change. It's when we want to love more. And we speak of this fear of God. Well, a holy fear is the fear that comes with, what if I'm not doing enough? What if I'm not loving enough? It's not a fear of punishment. It's a fear of not doing enough for our beloved. That's a holy fear. That's the fear that comes with the indwelling of the Trinity. And it's that fear, it's this understanding of the love of God, that's what makes us want to sacrifice. Because there is no love without sacrifice. We can sacrifice without love. I can give something up. I don't really love it. It might be more convenient if I had it. But I can sacrifice without love. But I cannot love without sacrifice. If you examine yourself, your relationships, and there's no sacrifice in those, it's not charity. It's not Catholic supernatural charity. It's not the life of the Trinity expressing itself in our souls and in our actions. It's not charity without sacrifice. And this love of the Trinity, well, okay, even if we're too frail, we're too weak to correspond to this love, to understand it, this is what love does. It stoops, it goes down to the level of the beloved and does anything to draw the beloved to itself. And that's what God did. He became man, and he sacrificed himself on the cross for those he loves. Which is to say, for every man, woman, and child who ever lived. We cannot love without sacrifice. It's impossible. And God's every act on earth is to show this truth. He speaks to us of the Trinity. St. John tells us bluntly, God is love. Our Lord speaks constantly of love. And to show it, he gives himself completely as a man can give himself. And it's what we're called to follow. We don't have to pierce through to the mystery of the Trinity with our intellects. For some of us, it's not quite going to happen. But we have to pierce through to the mystery of love. That's not an option. That's not an option. You don't have to be able to discuss the procession, the processions in the Trinity, circumcession, relations. You don't have to be able to discuss that. You have to love. That's not the option. That's what you'll be judged on. And to love, you have to sacrifice. There's no option. If we love God, we will sacrifice our lower natures. We will sacrifice the parts of us that keep us chained to this world, keep us chained to ourselves. And we'll want to. It might hurt, but we'll want to do it. Because love wants to carry the burden. Love does not shrink from the pain. It's still a burden. It's still pain. But love makes it bearable. That's what we get from the mystery of the Trinity. It's this invitation to give back to God in an imperfect, limited way, what he's giving to us. God loves us. It is that simple. That's the center of our religion. There's nothing else. Everything comes around that. That's the central fact of our religion. It's this relationship of love between God and us. that exists because of the love that exists within the Trinity. Do we correspond? Do we correspond? We have to. It's what we're judged on. When we die, here's the question. Did you love? Did you love God? Yes or no? That's the question. So, if we can keep this in our minds, these struggles of this world, outside of us, yes, they're grievous, but they're in time. Within us, we have eternity, literally. The Blessed Trinity, which dwells in eternity, makes its home in our souls. How can we be frightened? We're missing something. When we're frightened, when we're lonely, it's because we're not looking at something that's closer to us than anything else. We're not looking at the love of God dwelling within us. Develop that habit. You're not alone. You're never alone. When it feels too difficult to suffer, it's not. It's not. When you feel alone, you're not. You are not. Learn to sacrifice. Teach your children to sacrifice. Teach your children to love. Parents, you don't need to teach your children the mystery of the Trinity. You have to teach them to love God. And you have to teach them to sacrifice. You have to. If you don't, you're crippling them. You're spiritually crippling your children. And the only way they'll learn these things is not by your speech, not by your lectures, but by what they see you doing. That's it. That's it. As always, how do we learn these things? What's our stepping stone? We go to Our Lady. We go to Our Lady. Her Immaculate Conception is because of the love of the Trinity. More than any human creature, she understood the Trinity. Again, she understood the Trinity in the way that a drop of ocean is related to the rest of the ocean. But more than we do. More than we do. And she contemplates it now. And it is her desire, her joy, her passion to help us understand the love of God for us. Go to her. When you pray your rosaries, make that intention. Ask her, help me learn to love. Help me understand love. Help me understand sacrifice. It's not a prayer she'll turn away. I promise you. It's not a prayer she'll turn away. And what she shows you, don't shrink from it. Don't be afraid. Go to Our Lady. She'll help you understand this mystery of the Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.